The Fairbanks City Council last night approved an ordinance to set up a Fairbanks Development Authority, a move enthusiastically supported by City Mayor William R. Wood.
What we've now set up at city level, as of last night, is a kind of an implementation agency that will use a little bit of government funding. Our concern is to rehabilitate the business and professional firm areas of the Fairbanks city limits.
Wood contends that the new organization, which will have $500,000 to start with, will not duplicate efforts by the Chamber of Commerce, the Town and Village Association for Development, or the Fairbanks Industrial Development Corporation, which he heads. The mayor describes those organizations as private sector study and advocacy groups, not publicly funded organizations that stress the implementation of economic development.
We're in no way in conflict with the Chamber of Commerce or anything else that is promotion and advocacy. This is an action effort. What we're going to do is to take a project and accomplish it instead of just talking about it and urging everybody to do something nice for us sometime.
Given the current economic lack of life in Fairbanks, isn't it going to take quite a bit to get things going?
Yes, it is.
Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.
One time, these two ladies, I guess they were at a meeting up at the university, and one told the other one, oh, I have a late night appointment, I have to go, you know. This other one said, God, I do too, I have to go too. So they both left the meeting, and one was sitting here at the bar, and this other lady came in the door, she goes, God, what are you doing down here? She goes, I thought you had a late night appointment too.
That late night appointment was at a Fairbanks club that features male strippers two nights a week.
Good evening, ladies. We are the Alaskan Dance Machine, and tonight we are going to share with you the power. If I took these glasses off, sugar, the clothes come off, and it's not that clear. We have all sorts of power. We have what is called dancing power. We also have what we call pipe power. And then, of course, we have medical power.
Lucky, the master of ceremonies, wore a black mask and a baggy black polyester two-piece outfit with sequins spelling Lucky on the cuffs. As he mentioned pipe power and medical power or whatever, a fully clothed, costumed man would step forward and dance down the runway that led between the tables. There were six dancers, ranging from medical power, represented by a curly-haired, muscular young man in operating attire, he turned out to actually be a medical technologist, to the Italian Stallion, a short, dark-haired fellow in a satiny robe, boxing gloves, well-worn jogging shoes, and gray sweat socks that crept down his calves.
We have flexural power. We have power of all sorts.
Jim, the club manager, says he got the idea to have male strippers from watching real people on television, and real strippers have been good business.
I think the reason is because women never been exposed to something like this, so I think that's why it works so well.
I notice your admission charge is $5 for women and $10 for men. Why the difference?
We try to make this an all-female show, you know, just for females only. Because men, they've been more or less, like, through the years, they've seen a lot of this thing. So we figure if the women get here by themselves, they can really cut loose and enjoy themselves better than with their, you know, men around bothering them. So we just wanted to just let it go like that, you know. And the women seem to enjoy it. They get kind of upset when the men are here anyhow.
Do you notice any difference in your bar business?
It's increased. It's increased a lot.
What are you doing here tonight?
Here to see the 12-inch.
What do you think of what you've seen so far?
Okay. Kind of rude. Not bad.
You have a favorite?
I haven't seen them all yet.
What do you think?
Not yet. Don't ask me yet.
Why did you come here?
She dared me to.
And why did you come here?
To see what they were doing.
What they were doing, one by one, was strutting out onto the stage and down the runway, dancing to rock and roll, fully clothed at first, stopping by tables, coming on to women, stroking their hair, thrusting genitals into their faces. Then after that first dance, the street clothes came off to reveal a G-string, or for the man called the plumber, for what became obvious reasons, a pair of well-worn red undershorts. Then it was back to the tables, the bumping and grinding, and finally off with the G-strings. More pelvic thrusts for the ringside tables, appendages flopping from side to side.
I think they really like it, really.
That is, most of them.
Okay. Not worth talking about. So dreadful.
Are you performing a public service?
I hope so. I seem to be.
The all-male strip show for women, Monday and Tuesday nights in Fairbanks. I'm Karen McPherson. Citing a procedural problem, Governor Hammond returned to the House a bill to partially open the North Slope Hall Road. That action prevents the bill from becoming law this year, barring a special legislative session. The boondoggle concerned a difference in the effective dates cited in House and Senate versions of the bill. The Senate bill called for opening the road to public travel from the Yukon River north to Dietrich in 1983, but the House-passed bill failed to include the 1983 effective date clause. Two Fairbanks groups had lobbied hard on the Hall Road issue, the Chamber of Commerce and the Fairbanks Environmental Center. Neither group was entirely happy with the bill as it stood, but for different reasons. The Chamber of Commerce was hoping for an earlier effective date, and the Environmental Center would prefer to keep the road closed. Given those positions, Hammond's action was viewed more favorably by the Environmental Center than the Chamber. John Adams, the Environmental Center's executive director, said that he was, quote, very pleased with the action, and now there's more work to be done.
We've said repeatedly in the past that we're interested in reaching a real compromise on the issue. And I think that the Senate version of this year's Senate bill wasn't what we would have liked to have seen had we been given our druthers, but at least it was something like a real compromise, and I think we could probably support something like that in the future. We're really disturbed, though, because it appears that the folks on the other side of the issue are not interested in real compromise at all. They're continuing to advocate their hard line.
By the other side, Adams said he referred to a couple of legislators and business interests in Fairbanks.
People who feel that they really have nothing at all to lose from opening the Hall Road.
Adams said one of his primary concerns was the inability for villagers to prepare themselves for the opening of the road and an inadequate amount of time to put services and emergency facilities in place before the public begins to travel the road. 1983, he feels, gives more leeway as an effective date than 1981. That position differs considerably from that of the other side. Wally Baer is the general manager of the Chamber of Commerce. He feels let down by the administration and the legislature.
This is a very important project for the Fairbanks area, interior Alaska. That road serves the biggest industrial development in Alaska and has a potential of bringing in even greater returns to the state than are now being realized. And more important to us here, of course, is the development of a local broad-based economy.
Baer says that developing the local economy is tied to opening the Hall Road, that local economic growth is inhibited by restricting access. Baer and chamber members are currently lobbying legislators and candidates and plan to be very active in the next session to ensure that a bill gets passed early on. And some of those efforts may also be directed toward changing provisions of the bill.
There many restrictions in that bill, which I don't feel should be there. I think our position has always been, and I'm sure that we will continue to push for making the North Slope Road a part of the Alaska State Highway System, and with the same rules, regulations, and restrictions that you find on any other part of the Alaska State Highway System. I don't see any reason to take this part of the highway system and single it out and put restrictions on it when you don't have it on the rest of the highway system.
One of the arguments for opening it in 1983 as opposed to 1981 is that it would give more time to establish facilities along the road. Do you see that is a consideration?
Of course that's a consideration, but that's a ploy on the part of the administration. If we wait for the facilities to be established, then we'll never open the road. You have to, as soon as the road is open, then there's a need for facilities, and if the state will and the federal government will make the area available, then private enterprise will put in the facilities. There'll be no problem there.
Part of the problem now lies in the differences of opinion between the Environmental Center and the Chamber of Commerce. Though Adams talks of possible working relationships, Baer does not. Baer claims that earlier this year, the center led the chamber, quote, down the primrose path.
I don't think we're going to be willing to do that again. We tried, we went along to as great an extent as we could, and all it did was involve us in controversy and probably helped get us into the mess we're in now.
A mess perceived quite differently by the various parties involved in the controversy, and a mess that is probably quite different from that could result from opening the road to the public in the very near future. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.